Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Everybody, and welcome to the Fired Up with CJ show. I am CJ Liu, and today we have Dr. Lonnie Leary coming all the way from Hawaii, our second person from Hawaii. She is the author of No One Has to Die Alone, and she is going to be in this segment offering her incredible story of how she developed her work as a specialist and working with the chronically ill, dying, and bereft clients. So welcome, Dr. Leary.
Thank you so much, CJ. I'm glad to be here.
So I wanted you to share the incredible story and how you started on your path of this field of study.
Well, the path kind of started me. It probably began when I was 13 and my mother died unexpectedly. And in my family, as we were growing up, we did not talk about her illness and we certainly didn't talk about dying or death. And so at 13, when she died, I was not prepared. I didn't have the skills. I did not have the language to participate in her dying. And I felt when she died that I had left her, I had abandoned her, and that she died believing that her only daughter didn't love her enough to help. And so when she died, I was left with incredible remorse and guilt on top of my grief, and it really exacerbated a long, long process that I carried a lot of pain with. I was trying to find meaning, and in my family, the response to a death was to not talk about the person who died, and so it felt as though here today, gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
For a child without language or models, we are self-centered, and we try to develop meaning, and we make ourselves the center of the universe. And so I grew up falsely believing that my mother had died because of me, because I had not known that I loved her. And I was really alone with that for years and years. But I remember clearly the day shortly after her death that I said to myself, this will not be a tragedy. I will find meaning in this. I will make something good out of this in order to cope. That's how I tried to cope. And so I really spent the rest of my life learning, going to school, and taking every opportunity that I could to learn from the dying so that I could address my greatest fear, which was being there, being present, being able and willing to help any other loved one who was dying. I never again wanted to feel helpless, useless, and powerless. And so I did take myself back to school and earned graduate degrees in thanatology, which is the study of death and dying. And I worked in hospices and hospitals with the dying and the bereaved. And I learned what I needed. And then I also, in the midst of this, when I was 29 years old, had an accidental overdose in a dentist chair of nitrous oxide. And I had the classic near-death experience that has been researched and documented by millions and millions of people. And what I learned in that experience really taught me how to be with the dying, because it totally erased any fear that I have of dying. And so I could lean into the experience of dying and be with people without any fear, and even without talking to dying patients. I don't necessarily share that experience with them, but they pick up on it. They know that I know something because I don't have that anxiety and the fear. So I use that, and several years ago, it all came full circle because my father did indeed call me. I was living on the East Coast, and he called to tell me very matter-of-factly that they had found that it wasn't pneumonia that he was suffering from. In fact, it was end-stage lung cancer. Mm. And because I knew what to do, I was ready emotionally and with the skills. I closed my private practice. I closed my university classes where I was teaching death studies. And I flew home to be with him, thinking that because it was stage four, we might have 3 to 6 months together. I moved into his home, and I was his caregiver. And we did it right. It was his final gift to me, and really healed all of that grief that I'd carried for years. His gift to me to allow me to be with him, to be his closest, most intimate advocate and supporter. And it was my final gift to him to be present so that I could help him right up to the last moment of his life.
Hmm.
It was the greatest gift of my life and really the greatest privilege.
Hmm. Your mom is smiling, I'm sure, during that whole time, smiling down at you.
Not only, yes. Grateful for what I could do in her stead, but also, I'm sure, happy for the healing that I experienced.
Mm.
And we can all do that. We can all do what I did. There's nothing extraordinary in it. But we do need to reduce our anxieties and our fear about death and dying.
What are the fears? Because part of what you said is your near-death experience helped you kind of erase all the fears. What are the fears that people typically go through?
Well, I think the fears are connected to the myths that we have in our culture, and other cultures have some of them and their own. But our culture is so youth-oriented that our myths and fears about dying are based on our beliefs that dying is the end of consciousness. And I know that not to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Another myth that we have is that dying is a failure. And I know that not to be true. Dying is universal. Death is universal. We are all going to die. There's nothing about a failure. However, I continue to hear snips about, you know, somebody didn't exercise enough, or somebody smoked, and so their death is their fault. Well, we all can participate and are responsible for our choices, but we're all going to die, and none of us are going to get out of this. And in fact, there isn't, you know, a formula for immortality. So the fear and the myth that dying is a failure, that dying is the end of consciousness. Another fear and myth that we have is that dying is the end of a relationship. And I know that not to be true. When I and millions of others had that near-death experience, my mother was right there on the other side. And in fact, it was almost as though she caught me. And what I knew in our encounter is that I did not need to tell her the details of my life. She knew it all. And she had always been with me.
Right. She'd been relating to you.
Yeah.
Even when you felt like, oh, she was gone.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so part of it is when you're actually with people who are in that state of, you know, their state where they're transitioning, how is it that you lean into it and talk to them about these things? Is instead of saying, you know, even though given that they have these myths, mm-hmm. how do you talk to them about it?
Well, I think the first way I start, CJ, is that I don't talk to them about it. I posture it. So my body language speaks a lot. And first of all, I am close to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't stand at the doorway. I don't keep distance between us. I'm right there at the bedside and sometimes on the bed holding them. And that's the second piece. My body posture, I touch them. And touch communicates so much. when I touch a person who is dying, I'm communicating to them, first of all, I am here, I am here, I am here. You will not be abandoned. You will not be alone. You will not be isolated. The second thing that my touch communicates is that you are not decayed. You are not decrepit. You are not unacceptable. You are not ugly. And that's one of the fears that the dying have. The third is that it's okay. I'm okay. You're okay. We're in this together. So the first thing I do is the way I am. And the second thing that we can all do is the way that I listen. So I listen to everything. And I will listen to them over and over and over again, the same story as they are trying to find meaning about their life and even trying to articulate what their legacy might be, why they were in the world, and what of them they will leave behind. And when I talk with them, I'm not talking at them, and it's not about my agenda. It's about them and what they value and what they want to share. So I come in to the experience without an agenda, without expectations. And I want to let me tell you what I mean by that. I think oftentimes we have expectations of the way a person is supposed to die.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we each get to die our own unique ways. And one of the things that I tried to do with my father and I tried to teach is that when I'm working with the dying, I want to help them to identify their values, and then I am there to support those values and choices.
Okay, let's actually I'd love to talk about that after the break. Unfortunately, I have to go to break, and then that's exactly the topic I want to follow up with you. So many thanks to you, Dr. Lonnie Leary, the author of the book, No One Has to Die Alone. And in the next segment, we'll be talking about the conversations that you can have with someone who is in their transition stages of life. Seattle folks, make sure to go to the eastwestbookshop.com and sign up for Lonnie's workshop, which is happening tonight between 7 and 8:30. So tonight, May 24th at 7 to 8:30. And if you want to create a happy you and a happy planet, then friend us on Facebook at the Fired Up with CJ page. You get all sorts of great show information and upcoming shows. We'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Imagine a chocolate so decadent that you'd never believe it could be good for you. Align your inner bliss with Mother Nature's magic. The power of cold-pressed cocoa by Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Shosai is everything you ever dreamed healthy should taste like. We combine unprocessed cocoa with acai and blueberry for an unbeatable high-oxidant powerhouse. Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Visit us at lifesaverchocolate.com or call 888-287-2011.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Did you know most coffee, not all, have hidden dangers lurking in it? A recent investigation into grocery store coffee revealed three dangers. First, modern coffee produces dangerously high acidity and caffeine. Second, mold content in grocery store coffee contains dangerous toxins. Yuck. Third, government agencies have found grocery store coffee containing 400 times the carcinogens allowed in drinking water. You will be relieved to know that Camano Island Coffee Roasters takes the worry out of your sip of coffee. Imagine how your coffee tastes without mold, carcinogens, or poison. Get your free coffee report, The 5 Hidden Dangers Lurking in Your Coffee Cup. Visit NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com to get your free copy now. That's NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. And check out Camano Island Coffee Roasters.
What would it feel like to let go of a painful story that causes suffering? Discover how love is greater and more powerful than fear, anger, doubt, worry, or grief. Superior to any story about your life that causes suffering, there is a story of love waiting for you. Can you imagine a story without judgment? A story of forgiveness? A story that releases I can't and proclaims I can. Imagine a story where you let go of what was and embrace what is and create what you want for the future. The first 25 audience members to contact Dana at danafrost.com and inquire about the Pay It Forward, Pay What You Can coaching promotion are invited to a one-hour power-packed coaching session or two 30-minute coaching sessions. You simply pay what you can afford to pay. In the subject line, please input Pay What You Can coaching inquiry.
Transformation Talk Radio.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Everybody, and thank you for listening to the Fired Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. I am CJ Liu, and today we have the pleasure and honor to have Dr. Lonnie Leary, the author of No One Has to Die Alone. And she is here sharing her insights on how you can support your loved one's passing so that it's peaceful and supportive. So welcome, Lonnie.
Thank you.
So in the book, one of the things that but there were so many new things in the book for me, but one of them was that one of the fears that people have of many, one of the greatest fear you said is isolation and loneliness, which we were talking about in the previous segment, and how really it's about being there and being present and showing through your body language and actions that everything is okay and that they're not alone. And one of the things that we were talking in the previous segment is how another thing that as someone moving to the end parts of their life, they're worried about their legacy and also having control in the way in which they want to pass. And in your book, you have some really great ideas on conversations that you could have with your loved one. My question for you is, how do you bring these sensitive topics up to a loved one? Help me kind of find the words. What would I say?
Right. Well, I think it's very, very common because of our lack of experience and exposure in our culture that most people feel scared.
Mm-hmm.
Most people feel paralyzed. Most people are thinking, I want to help, but I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
What if I do the wrong thing? What if I say the wrong thing? I don't know how to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that my book is a practical roadmap and gives people examples and language so that they can go through this with their loved one. Because my message is really simple, and that is that no one has to die alone. With the hundreds and hundreds of people that I've been with at the end of life, what they have taught me is very important, and here's the message. The dying do not fear their physical pain. because now with hospice care and palliative care, people do not have to die in pain. The dying do not fear their imminent death, because at the end of life, when medical care cannot reverse illness or decline, there are worse things, there are greater tragedies than death. But what the dying fear the most is feeling emotionally abandoned and physically isolated. And that's what we can help with. That's how all of us can make a difference. So the ways that I have conversations so that people do not feel emotionally abandoned is to ask them what they need. So, for instance, a caregiver recently said to me, you know, my mother keeps asking me if she's going to die, and I don't know. She's 97 years old, and she keeps asking me, am I dying? Am I dying? And I said to her, Sandy, what do you say to her? And Sandy said, oh, I don't say anything because I don't know what to say. So the lack of response, her mother is feeling alone. Her mother is feeling pushed away. And so I helped her with the language. I helped her have a conversation like that, and I asked her just to watch me. So I sat with her 97-year-old mother, and sure enough, this woman said to me, I don't know if Sandy knows I'm dying. That was her question, you see. So her mother was trying to protect her daughter, and her daughter, by not answering, was thinking that she was protecting her mother. And what happened in the end is that both were feeling alone. Instead of connecting around what was really happening in this older woman's life. And her mother wanted to talk about her experience. She wanted to talk about her feelings and her thoughts. This was part of the journey. She wanted to share it with her daughter, but she needed to know that her daughter could hear her. So I sat with the mother, and I said to her, tell me what you think. What's your experience? What is happening to you right now? Tell me what you're thinking about. And that just that open question allowed the mother to talk about the elephant in the room, which was what was really going on in her life. Because I could allow the mother to be wherever she was and to be experiencing whatever she was experiencing, nothing was wrong. She didn't have to do it a different way. The mother could go on and on with her story.
Interesting. So it's going back to what you said in the first segment about just being there without any agenda or expectations and just asking, like, how are you? What are you thinking about? Yeah. What can I do to make you feel more comfortable? Or maybe that's even too much. I mean, that presumes that they're uncomfortable. But, I mean, what are some of the other kind of, like, here are some good open-ended questions that will lead you to a good place and not having that person feel emotionally abandoned? What other kind of things may you say?
That's a great question, CJ. So, for instance, with my father, when I flew home, I put everything on the table. He could talk about what he wanted to. He didn't have to talk about what he didn't want to. But some of my questions to my father were, okay, Dad, the doctor has said that you have stage 4 cancer. What do you want to do with whatever time you have left? You might have 3 months, Dad. You might have 3 weeks. You might have 3 days. We don't know. Let's make a bucket list. Tell me what you care about. And so he would say he wanted to go out and ride his horse one last time. He wanted to see this person. And I said to him, Dad, who do you want to be with you as you're dying? Who do you not want to be with you? What do you want to see? Where do you want to go? Anything is okay. I'm here to support your wishes. Okay?
So I'm imagining telling my mom that and her, like, I don't want to talk about these things.
Okay. And then my response to that, CJ, would be, Mom, I'm okay. Mom, would you give me the gift of allowing me to support you? because that's what's going to help me the most after you're gone.
Ah. Then my mom would comply. But I think otherwise it's like, I don't want to talk about these things. Okay. They feel uncomfortable, but I think that that would work.
Well, Mom, are you uncomfortable because of you, or are you uncomfortable because of me? Because I'm here for you, and I'm okay. It doesn't mean that I'm not sad, Mom, but I really want to be your advocate. I'm here to support you. I'm here to be with you in whatever way means something to you.
Okay, so I'm going to role play because my mom would say, you know what, I just don't want to inconvenience you. I know you have work and other things to do, and I don't want to be a burden.
Mom, you were there for me, and I don't think you would ever say that you were an inconvenience to me. Please let me do this for you. That would be your gift to me.
But I don't feel comfortable having you do all these things for me. It feels uncomfortable to tell these stories.
Okay. Mom, what would feel comfortable to you? What would feel comfortable so that I could be with you? There are lots of different things that I could do for you, Mom.
Okay. Then she would probably, if I said it that way, she would come up with a whole laundry list of things.
Yeah.
Go to the bank account, go do these. She would come up with a whole bunch of logistical things to do that would make her feel comfortable.
Right, and then I start that way, and she sees that I'm okay, and maybe she'll let me do more.
Yeah, and I think that the operative thing in all of the conversations back and forth is I'm okay. So it's going back to the story that you shared, which is the person who's dying is worried that you're not okay.
Well, if it's a parent, often they are trying to protect their grown child. It doesn't matter. But if they can see that I'm okay, in other words, what I often show a family member, caregivers and the dying, is I'll hold out two hands, open hands, and I'll say, you know, in this hand, I'm grieving and I'm sad. And Mom, in this other hand, I am really capable and I'm okay and I want to help. So I can be both ways at the same time, Mom.
Beautiful. And I think that that's a perfect, you know, it's a very realistic description, and I think also really helpful, too.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Honest.
So,
yeah, I'll be honest.
This is so helpful. I'm so appreciative.
We're all going to do this, CJ, and we really, you know, I hope that the book is like an operations manual.
It is.
And it shows people, it shows us all, it shows the dying and also caregivers and also grievers, the bereaved, that we, none of us are useless, helpless, or alone.
Right.
We
right.
All
and
can
I think
make
that
a
that's
difference.
Yeah, and I think that that's the key thing, is actually realizing that no one's alone, because everyone kind of feels alone just because of our discomfort. I mean, the feeling that you felt that you were talking about in the first segment about being a 13-year-old that didn't know what was going on, we all feel that no matter what the age. So, I mean, part of what your book does, I think, is remedy that kind of natural instinct to want to help but not know what to do. So we are going to go on break. Thank you so much, Dr. Lonnie Leary, for sharing with us mainland folks the incredible wisdom and insights in your book, No One Has to Die Alone. And for those of you who would like to attend one of Lonnie's workshops, she'll be teaching on the 29th in Portland, on the 31st in Powell's in Beaverton. And you can actually check out all her other events at drlaneylarry.com, drlaneylarry.com. And folks, make sure to find the Fired Up with CJ show on iTunes and get a free weekly subscription. Next, we're going to talk about how to create a supportive family network. We'll be right back.
Deeper, more intimate relationships. But how do we create successful relationships and maintain strong connections? Peter Kane has some real answers. Author of The Monogamy Challenge, Creating and Keeping Intimacy. Peter is one of the original breath workers and relationship trainers with over 30 years' experience. Breathe, relax, or create intimacy and keep it thriving. Visit peterkane.org or contact Peter Kane at 425-802-2050.
Gratitude, asks the heart, tell me, who are you? I would like to meet you and get to know you better. Gratitude responds, I am that which strikes at your door and waits until you open it with grace. I am that which only wants to partner with you at any moment. I am that which wishes your expansion more than anything. Gratitude is on a mission to create a partnership between the hearts of all human beings. Wouldn't it be wonderful to cultivate this state of being every single day? Stimulate the energy of the essence of gratitude in your life while bathing in this wonderful and powerful vibration with our diamond combo and transform your life in health, creativity, wealth, and enriched relationships. Visit our Gratitude Living Boutique at explorationgratitude.com.
Tune in to Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Dialogue Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Dialogue Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
Psychic Dougal Fraser, the queer guy with a third eye, one of the country's most popular psychics, joins Transformation Talk Radio with a call-in advice show that will provide insights and information on creating your best life. You've seen him on The Real Housewives of Orange County, Dancing with the Stars, and so much more. From gurus to gossip, meditation to martinis, the Dougal Fraser Show will both inspire and crack you up with laughter. Tune in every Tuesday at 10. It's the Dougal Fraser Show.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Transform. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fired Up with CJ Show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. I am CJ Liu, and today we have Dr. Lonnie Leary, the author of No One Has to Die Alone. And we're going to talk about how you can create a family support team in managing and handling care giving to your loved ones. So welcome back, Lonnie.
Thank you, CJ.
So one of the things, I've had so many girlfriends, I'm in my 50s, and my girlfriends are in the stage where they're taking care of their parents who, you know, either have Alzheimer's or, you know, chronically ill. And one of the things that they complain about is how it's really hard for them to get other people enrolled, other family members enrolled in the care of their loved ones or passing parent. What's happening emotionally to the caregivers or family members when they hear about a family member approaching their death?
Right, that's a good question. So when we look at the family dynamics, your loved one, your parent, your mother or your father, has just told you that they are dying or declining. And the family members don't see themselves necessarily as caregivers. Oftentimes there's one person in the family that is non-verbally designated as such, but the other people might step back. And I believe that that is because fundamentally, they may not say it, but they believe the thought, I cannot cope, or I cannot make a difference. And my example of that is in my family, when my father was had this terminal diagnosis, one of the family members said, well, Dad's going to die anyway. I can't make a difference. And I kind of set out all the different ways that all of us can kind of ante up or contribute. We want to participate. I believe people will participate if they know how. So people need to learn the skills and feel that they are competent. But they can be competent in ways that they are already competent. If we know different ways that will make a difference in this end stage journey. So I kind of, my book lists a lot of different roles that family members can participate in, and they can be up close and personal roles. So that, for instance, I was very comfortable touching my father. So I took care of his physical needs and did a lot of massage with him to soothe his anxieties. Another family member didn't feel comfortable with touch at all, but he was really good on the computer, so he did a lot of the research about this type of cancer. Another family member might feel comfortable taking care of the finances. Another family member who might be in denial, as in, oh, Dad's going to get better. Dad's going to get better.
Yeah, what are you worrying about anyways? You're just making a mountain over a molehill. I've heard of that, too.
So I'm not going to necessarily try to convince that person, because that's going to get out of their comfort level, and then they may not participate at all. But I might ask that family member who is in denial, would you be willing to take Dad to the doctor? Or actually, that might be too personal. So I might ask him, would you be willing to pick up the medication? Or would you be willing to answer the phone? But there are so many different roles that people can participate in across the board, depending on their level of comfort, their skill, their competency. So you could have someone who is a facilitator between all the siblings or all the family members communicating, Dad just went to the doctor and this was the latest report. And especially if you have family members spread out all over the United States, somebody is good with email and they can be the communicator in that way. That's very helpful. So that here's the deal. We want to do this because this is our last chance to show love to this person, to show them that they matter. And we can follow through with our actions. And we want to do this because everyone, the dying, the caregivers, the bereaved after the death, will have peace of mind and no regrets. And they will not, this will not be a train wreck. They will not miss the life they could have had. Everyone, you see? We can save ourselves from the grief. We can save ourselves from the nightmare of regret and guilt.
Because we didn't do anything, or we didn't do anything because we didn't know what to do. Exactly. The couple other things in your book that I love. So there's a medical advocate who I had no idea. It's like, well, aren't the doctors going to take care of everything? But that doesn't, and from my girlfriend who just has been with two passing loved ones, said, no, you got to be there as a medical advocate. Tell us about that role, because I don't think a lot of us are familiar with it or even think that we need to take these high-paying doctors and advocate anything.
Okay. So an example of that is that I was the one who was comfortable speaking with doctors and asking questions. So it was I that took my father to his medical appointments and went into every appointment with my father. And I knew to tape record the conversation so that we could review information, because there's a great deal of information that is shared, and often medical terms. My father, as many are, you know, was 90 and would have been 90, and I knew my father well enough to know that he would not second guess a physician, and he would not even ask questions that sounded like he was being disrespectful. So as a medical advocate, I went with my father and I asked the questions that I knew he would not. I took the notes so that we could review them, so I was sure that my father understood afterward, and then I had the information to pass on to the rest of my family. But as I sat there with my father in the doctor's office, and the doctor said, well, you know, we could try chemotherapy. That was all the information that was shared by the doctor. I asked the questions that my father wouldn't, which was, well, what would my father gain? How much time might my father gain? And the oncologist said, probably 2 weeks. And then I said, and what do you think it would cost him? What might the side effects be? What would the time requirement be, et cetera? And the doctor said, well, he would have to come over the hill every day, which would be, you know, at least an hour of travel. We would have to get him in and out of a car in a wheelchair. And here are the side effects. You know, you'd probably be nauseous. You wouldn't feel good, things like that. So then as a medical advocate, I asked my father, Dad, here are the pros. Here are the cons. I will support whatever you want. What would you like? Okay. And then my father made a very clear decision that he did not want to go to the hospital under any circumstance. So I was there making sure that nobody called the ambulance. We enrolled him in hospice care so that he would have services at home and be able to die at home. But again, I made sure that everyone followed his medical wishes, which was not to go in an ambulance and things like that. And then as a medical advocate, I supported his medical decisions when he decided to take the oxygen tube out of his nose that was delivering, you know, life-saving oxygen to him, or actually not life-saving, but life-sustaining. And I didn't fight him on that because I knew his values and his wishes. And it was not my life. It was his. And I was there to support him being the author of his life and his death.
Beautiful. We are going to be right back. That is a beautiful way of thinking about it, because as you're saying, I mean, part of what you fear is the loss of control. So allowing them to write the first, you know, the last chapter of their life is just a beautiful gift that you gave your dad. So thank you. We have Dr. Lonnie Leary, author of No One Has to Die Alone. To find out more about Lonnie's workshops that are happening in the Northwest in the next, it seems like next 2 weeks, go to drlanileri.com, drlanileri.com. And also go to Psychology Today, where she has a blog where she posts information on this content. And if you want to create a happier you and happier planet, make sure to check out our shows on www.firedupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, the magical Sarah McLachlan.
Thank you. if someone could show you how to tap into vibrant health in 90 minutes? What if someone could have you listening to and following your heart's desires? What if someone could have you feel deep and abiding freedom throughout every cell of your being? What if someone could tap into your inherent abundance easily and effortlessly? Alina Frank is that someone. Alina can help you clear anything that energetically stands in your way from attaining the health, wealth, and freedom you were born to enjoy. Using EFT tapping, set yourself free with EFT. Why wait for a miracle when you can tap your power now? Visit www.tapyourpower.net. That's www.tapyourpower.net.
What would it feel like to let go of a painful story that causes suffering? Discover how love is greater and more powerful than fear, anger, doubt, worry, or grief. Superior to any story about your life that causes suffering, there is a story of love waiting for you. Can you imagine a story without judgment? A story of forgiveness? A story that releases I can't and proclaims I can. Imagine a story where you let go of what was and embrace what is and create what you want for the future. The first 25 audience members to contact Dana at danafrost.com and inquire about the Pay It Forward, Pay What You Can coaching promotion are invited to a one-hour power-packed coaching session or two 30-minute coaching sessions. You simply pay what you can afford to pay. In the subject line, please input Pay What You Can coaching inquiry.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Gratitude, asks the heart. Tell me, who are you? I would like to meet you and get to know you better. Gratitude responds, I am that which strikes at your door and waits until you open it with grace. I am that which only wants to partner with you at any moment. I am that which wishes your expansion more than anything. Gratitude is on a mission to create a partnership between the hearts of all human beings. Wouldn't it be wonderful to cultivate this state of being every single day? Stimulate the energy of the essence of gratitude in your life while bathing in this wonderful and powerful vibration with our diamond combo and transform your life in health, creativity, wealth, and enriched relationships. Visit our Gratitude Living Boutique at Exploration Gratitude.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.
TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for listening to the Fired Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. I am CJ Liu, and today we have Dr. Lainey Larry, who is the author of No One Has to Die Alone. And we are going to wrap up talking about, you know, basically how you talk to other family members and how what kind of expectations and symptoms and signs would you expect throughout the dying process of your loved one. So welcome back, Lainey.
Thank you, CJ.
So tell me, for children, how do you discuss You know, we talked about adults and how you manage and talk about a person who, a loved one that may be dying, but how about a child?
Children who are participating in the, who are part of the family. Actually, you know, I'd like to see kind of a do-over of our whole educational system and start speaking to children more often and sooner about the natural universal process of dying. If we expose our children and look for teachable moments every day, they're all around us. Everything dies. Everything changes. This is normal. We don't have to be afraid of it. And in fact, when I've worked with hundreds of children who were dying, children are not naturally afraid of dying. They are taught. And I have seen so many children who know that they are dying, but the family will not speak to them directly about the process. And again, the children feel so alone and isolated. And the children end up taking care of their parents' feelings. So again, the children aren't talking about what's real because they see their parents tear up or fall apart. And they're isolated. So I talk about what's real in open questions so that the child can pace me and tell me where they want to go and what they want to speak about. That's true about the grieving process as well. But in the same ways that we can include everyone in the family who wishes to participate with a dying loved one, we can also include children. And when I work in hospice and go into homes, it's an opportunity to bring a young child, and I'm talking, you know, 6 years old, right into the process, right up to dying grandma's bed. And this six-year-old child, I can ask, would you like to put lotion on grandma's dry hands?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to read grandma your favorite story? And the child, with permission like that, will get right up into the bed and snuggle against dying grandma, who so many people do not touch, and will snuggle right up there and have conversations with grandma. And children also are that fabulous, can be that facilitator, who are so willing to listen to grandma's same story 100 times, when adults oftentimes might respond by saying, oh, you've already told me that. But see, the dying person needs to tell the same story over and over again just to find meaning. And there's that child snuggled right in there listening. So there are many, many ways that we can include children in the dying process. And then you see afterward, that child isn't like me, who said, well, I didn't help. I didn't make a difference. I didn't let, you know, my loved one know that they were important and that I was there and that I cared. Children have, their grief is much easier when we can say to them, oh, look what you did for grandma. She was so glad you were there. You really made a difference.
You know, my grandfather, who was 100 years old, passed away about 5 years ago. And my brother, who had children, and I also said, you know what, I don't really know if I want the kids to fly down to see, you know, his funeral. You know, it's an open casket. And I kind of, now looking back, I kind of regret that, because even as a kid, when my own grandfather died, there's a sense of like it didn't even occur.
Exactly.
Because you don't see it, you don't realize it. It's just like they just went away on a long vacation. You just don't see him anymore. It's not a sense of closure.
Absolutely. And CJ, listen to what you just said, because I think that the language we use when we try to explain death to children, we use euphemisms that are not helpful in action, and actually they're harmful. So I've often heard people say to children, like you just said, oh, they went away on a long vacation. Well, you think that child's ever going to go on a vacation with you? No. Or we tell children that, oh, it's just like a long sleep. And then we wonder why children have nightmares and don't go to bed. Euphemisms rather than say, grandma died. And then we have the opportunity to explain to children at their different developmental ages, their different cognitive levels of understanding, what that means. So a six-year-old will not fully understand what dead means, not like a 10-year-old, because there are sub-concepts that I explain in the book that help a child to understand that death happens to all people. Death is not reversible. Remember when you and I were younger and we saw the Roadrunner cartoons and a boulder would fall on the Roadrunner and he'd bounce right back to life?
Exactly. That doesn't happen.
No, that doesn't happen, but we come to understand that. Children come to understand that over time. And so when we explain death to a six-year-old, we have to tell the events over and over again. We have to be open to repeating that explanation over and over again. It isn't that the child wasn't paying attention. It's the child doesn't have the full cognitive pieces to the puzzle. So that's what we can do to children, to make
it. There's a wonderful, what we didn't have a chance to talk about is in the first part of your book, you talk about, you know, kind of all the practical plans and emotion and how to support someone emotionally. And then in the second part of your book is all about grieving. So it is really a fantastic book that includes everything that you can imagine that you would need as your loved one passes and moves to a different place. And I'm grateful to have this book. As I told you earlier, I actually sent it to our financial planners because I think so many people need help with this and I really don't think there are very many books out there, or if there are, you don't even know to look for them. So,
thank
you so much.
It's not a crash course, you know?
Yeah.
I hope that what people are left with is the idea that you can make a difference and you can help and you can start preparing now, because CJ, 90% of us, 90% of our loved ones will die from an illness or an age-related circumstance, not sudden death. And that means that we can have these conversations ahead of time, know what our loved ones want, and know how we can make a difference. And if we don't know how yet, we have time to learn.
Beautiful. I am so thankful for you putting together this book, and thank you for being here today and taking a very difficult taboo topic usually and making it normal to talk about. So I appreciate it. And thank you also for the folks at WBLQ. Thank you to our listeners out there. Please join us next week when we talk to both Dr. Joyce Hawk, who's a cell biologist talking about spirituality and science, and Brooks Palmer talking about clutter busting. Have a great weekend, everyone.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends. Transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Where is it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great! We should spread the word!
Absolutely. Spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.